Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to share with you from God's Word. And I would like us tonight to think of one of the names of Jehovah. You will have heard of Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. You may have heard of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, and there are many others. But the one I'd like us to think about tonight is found in the book of Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, the Song of Moses. We'll read that passage together and I'll highlight the name that we find there. Exodus 15 from verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, they sank to the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to that reading. And the name that I am wanting to speak on tonight is found in verse 2, the beginning of the verse. The Lord is my strength. Now, in the original, there's no is. It's the Lord, my strength. Yahweh Ozi. Jehovah, my strength. It's wonderful that we can think of one who gives us strength and one who is strong. And in the passage that we've read together, the wonderful victory that the strong Lord gave to the children of Israel is a demonstration of that wonderful name, the Lord, my strength. That song focuses on the Lord being on Israel's side. The Lord being in command also of the elements of nature. And also the Lord dealing with the enemies of God's people. Reasons to rejoice indeed. We also find that title, the Lord my strength, Yahweh Osi, in Psalm 28 and verse 7, where we read, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Isn't it interesting that in those two references to Yahweh Ozi, the Lord my strength, but it's also connected with song, reasons to rejoice. Well, as we rejoice in the Lord being our strength this evening, we want to begin by asking a question. How strong is the one who strengthens me? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? How strong is the one who strengthens me? What would be the point of worshipping a weak deity? Or worshipping a God who has to always be brought down to our level, as many attempt to do today? Well, the God of the Bible, our God, he's incomparable in every way. What do I mean by that? Well, He's holier than our holiest thought. He's purer than our purest motive. He's wiser than our wisest decision. He's older than our oldest records. His knowledge is limitless. It covers eternity past as well as eternity yet to be. His power is greater than that of any other human power, whether it's manufactured or demonic even put together. His love is deeper than our most selfless love. And what is true of all of these qualities is certainly true regarding his strength. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 40 and 18, "To whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him?" The context there is the folly of a workman getting it into his head that he would like to have a God to worship. And so he designs the God in his mind. He then finds something suitable to make into an idol, and he fashions it, and he creates this image. And then, folly of all follies, he bows down and worships it. And God is saying, why waste your time on such practices when I am here, the God who transcends all others? And that thought reoccurs again in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 46 and verse 5. The question is asked by God himself, "To whom will you liken me, that we may be like, or compare me that we may be equal?" And the context there is that of two false deities, Baal and Nebo. And their statues were prominent, but if you came to worship them or to pay homage to them, they wouldn't hear you. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. Hands they had, but they couldn't lift you. They had mouths, but they couldn't speak any words of comfort to you. In fact, if they're to be moved from their place, it's human ingenuity that has to move them. And God is saying, why waste your time in these things? And he goes on to say in that passage in Isaiah 46, then verse 10, that he is the real and true God because he does what no other false god could possibly do. He can tell the end from the beginning. He can declare from ancient times. In other words, he can say something away in the past and it won't happen for perhaps millennia to come. And only the true God can do this. He is incomparable in every way. So how strong is the one who strengthens us? Well, his strength transcends all other strengths. I think of Psalm 65 and verse 6. By his strength he setteth fast the mountains. I'm sure there are some of you who would be like me. We would struggle to lift a large boulder. And yet Yahweh Ozi, the Lord, our strength, establishes, setteth fast the mountains. In Psalm 24, verse 8, the question is asked, who is this King of glory? The answer is, the Lord strong and mighty. And it goes on to say, the Lord mighty in battle. That's another of the names of Jehovah. Yahweh Gabor Milchama, the Lord mighty in battle. The Lord strong and mighty. Not only is he mighty in battle, but he never grows weary with the number of battles he engages in. He can fight your battles and my battles at the same time. He can fight the powers of darkness and give victory to the weakest saint hour by hour and day by day. The Lord strong and mighty. Psalm 89 verse 8, O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? And there again we find two names of Jehovah. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And the question is asked, a strong Lord like unto thee. Yahweh Ozi. He's strong in his own being. He's strong also in that he has all of the heavenly hosts at his disposal. We could say strong in military might. You know, Jesus could have owned the name the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, couldn't he? He could have called more than 12 legions of angels to put an end to the madness that was about to ensue in the false accusations and in nailing the just one to the cross. He could have ended it in a moment by saying, I am Yahweh Sabaoth, I am the Lord of hosts, I can command these hosts of angels. But he owns the name Yahweh Ozi, the strong one, and shows his strength, is strengthened by God as he faces Calvary. He shows us, as an example to us, how we can face everything because we have behind us the Lord, our strength. David exclaimed that the Lord was able to give strength unto all. I'm glad of that. But this is how he does it. It's in a particular context. And we find this in 1 Chronicles 29 from verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, but I love this phrase, and to give strength unto all. What a crescendo of blessing. What attributes and titles are found there, and it ends with this, you're able to give strength unto all. Then speaking of the future destruction of future Babylon in Revelation 18 and 8, we read these words, Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Yahweh Ozi, the Lord my strength, is not only very strong, but there is none stronger. How strong is the one who strengthens me? He is strength itself. He is all the strength we will ever need. How does Yahweh Ozi strengthen us? How does the Lord our strength strengthen us? Well, there are a number of ways. One way for certain is that he strengthens us by his presence. What do I mean by that? Well, I want you to picture an anxious older lady. She has a hospital appointment with a consultant. We all know what that can be like. But she takes with her grown-up daughter. And she does that so that there would be somebody there, a presence. And it's that presence that will give her strength. I think of that younger expectant mother, and she's going for her first scan. She takes her husband with her. She does so to have that loved one by her side because it's a time of anxiety, and she's strengthened by his presence. Think of that grieving widow. And there are things that have to be done so soon after the death of her husband. There are offices to be visited, forms to be completed. And she takes that close friend with her. Why is that? She'd be strengthened by their presence. And we are strengthened by the presence of Yahweh Ozi, the Lord our strength. How do I know that? Isaiah 41 and 10 says so. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Strengthened by his presence, I am with thee. Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Words of courage for Joshua. Do you know, he gets these words of courage 8 times. I like that. Because sometimes it's not enough to come to the word of God and be encouraged once whenever we're facing something deep and dire. We need to be encouraged again and again and again. And that was so for Joshua. This is what we read. Be strong. Where's that strength going to come from? The Lord thy God, he doth go with thee. He will not forsake thee. That's why Joshua could be strong, strengthened by his presence. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. David said to Solomon his son, be strong. How is he able to say that? For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. God's not going to let us down. If we feel that he's distant, it's only a feeling. We have his word for it, that he will be with us. The Lord who strengthens so many times by his presence. But he also wants us to be strong by being at an advantage. Now, the strength still comes from him. But he has told us how we can be at a spiritual advantage. I believe this is what Paul had in mind when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And we read in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there's no question that this strength is spiritual strength and it's coming from Yahweh Ozi, the Lord our strength. But we are to be at an advantage. And if we are to be at an advantage, there's something we must do. God, who is our strength, has provided all we need. But there's something we must do. 6 and 11. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul has the Roman legionary in mind as he thinks about these items of armour. The belt and the sporran, the breastplate, the hobnail sandals, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. He's wanting us to be so armed and ready that we will be at an advantage when the attacks come. And this is spiritual armour. It comes from the Lord. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Some of this armour is defensive. We put it on to defend ourselves. But also some of it is offensive. We're to take the sword. We're to go out. We're to go on the attack. It's the sword of the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit to be filled with the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And also we are to pray. We can be strengthened by these means. It's still from God. But we need to be doing our part. Yahweh Ozi, the Lord, my strength, expects me to take his commands seriously and to be strengthened in ways that put me at an advantage in the battle. So we're strengthened by his presence. We're strengthened by listening to his instruction to be an advantage, but we're also strengthened, and we can be strengthened spiritually by training in spiritual things. I believe Paul had this in mind as he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. And at the end of verse 7 we read this, "Exercise thyself unto godliness." We find the fuller meaning teased out in the very next verse. "Bodily exercise profiteth little." Doesn't mean to say that there's no profit in it, but Paul is drawing a comparison. He says, look at the time and energy that is spent in the gym, in getting ourselves into good shape. And it will only profit for a while, because after we reach a certain age, and I think I've passed that point, muscle tone starts to diminish a bit. And we're not as strong as we once were. And that's just part of the aging process. So it profits, but it profits little. However, spiritual strength is something that we can add to and add to and add to. He says in 1 Timothy 4 verse 15 that your gain, your profiting may appear to all. And just as someone who has been to the gym, when we look at them in a before and after situation, we can see their gain. We can see their profiting is apparent to all. Paul is saying, spiritually speaking, that should be so for us. And people can see our strength. We are strong spiritually because we have worked out, we've worked out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So how are we strengthened by him? By his presence with us. By listening to his instructions to be at a spiritual advantage through the armour of God. And also by training up and exercising in spiritual things. There are times when, having done all of that, in serving the Lord, we still find ourselves exhausted. Wonder, am I speaking to somebody this evening? That's just how you feel. Burned out. There's a word for us, and it's Isaiah 40 and 31. "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Look at the contrast. From fainting to walking, going on with the Lord. From being weary to running, even to the point of soaring like an eagle. Strength when exhausted. Here's a verse I often read in hospital visitation. Psalm 73 verse 26. "My flesh and heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Are you weary? Are you exhausted? Are you burned out? Yahweh Osei wants you to think about him. Think about this quality that's in him, this attribute that is his. I believe Paul was able to do that when he struggled with the thorn in the flesh that he speaks about in 2 Corinthians 12. He doesn't identify it. He leaves us wondering as to what it might be. We know that for three protracted seasons of prayer and crying out to God, he sought the Lord that it would be removed from it, that he would be delivered from it. But the Lord said, "No, it's needful for you." But the Lord also replied and said to him, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength," the strength of Yahweh Osei, the Lord my strength, "my strength is made perfect in your weakness," Paul. And Paul then went on to say, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul talked about spiritual gifts that he had, but here was a gift of God that he didn't want. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And many things are given to us and sent to us and permitted with us. But alongside that comes a wonderful promise. My strength, the strength of Yahweh Osei, is seen in its perfection and completeness in our weakness. Do we need to have our batteries recharged? Isaiah 14:29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. God may have wounded soldiers, but they can be still strong soldiers. He may have sick saints, but they can still be strong saints, even in a hospital bed. He may have oppressed children, but they can still be strong children, even imprisoned for the Lord's sake. Strengthened when exhausted. Yahweh Osei also strengthens us for all challenges. Habakkuk 3:19 says, the Lord God is my strength. And he, the Lord who is my strength, will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Life isn't a sprint. It isn't just a marathon either. It's a marathon over pretty rough terrain. We need to be almost an Ironman in the spiritual sense to go on for God. But it's possible. The hind in Habakkuk 3 is a female deer, a speedy, nimble, sure-footed creature. That was the subject of many's Victorian landscape. They were obsessed with landscapes that depicted an idyllic Scottish Highland scene. And there would be the subject of the deer. And it's quite often the deer would be seen standing on an impossible precipice, a jagged edge somewhere, surveying a glen in a regal manner. As if that deer was saying, that hind was saying, this terrain is nothing to me. And in Habakkuk 3:19, the Lord who is our strength gives us the ability to do the same in a spiritual sense. Look, this journey is not too much for me. This mountain to climb is not too much for me. This valley to cross is not too much for me. Because Yahweh Osei is my strength. And we can be strengthened for all and any challenge. Deuteronomy 11:8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong, and go in and possess the land, whither you go to possess it. God had given Israel a job to do. Orders to be obeyed, but blessings would eventually be enjoyed. They would need to be strong. And that strength was going to come from the Lord. And it would be most evident when God was being honoured by them. Now, Paul's challenges in his walk with the Lord were many and well documented in his letters. Yet he can say in his writing to the church at Philippi, chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Yahweh Osei, the Lord my strength, he's not going to ask me to do something or go somewhere without equipping me for the task. Over in the book of Hebrews, we have the long list of people who, by faith, did amazing things under the hand of God. But tucked in there is Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And she had to face the prospect of motherhood in her 90s. But I love the way it's worded by the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:11. Sarah herself received strength. She wasn't going to be called to do something that Yahweh Osei wouldn't equip her for. Sarah herself received strength. And she wasn't alone in that list of people in Hebrews 11. There are many great names and we know their stories well. But also in verse 34 there are those who remain anonymous. Time just couldn't have been given over to detail each one, and this is why we read that they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and here's our phrase, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You know, Hebrews 11 is about faith, of course it is. The faith was that of the believers, but the strength was the Lord's. The power was the Lord's. That's why in Psalm 71 and verse 16, we can read regarding all of these challenges that the Lord sets us. I will go in the strength of the Lord. You know, many today are feeling the call of God in their life. To some kind of service or other. For some, it will be full-time service. It will mean maybe leaving this culture and this country and going elsewhere to serve the Lord. They may base their decision on things like, will I be able to drum up enough support, enough financial support? Will I be able to come home often to see my family? And on this decision-making process can go, when really all they have to do is say, I will go in the strength of the Lord. Ultimately, we are strengthened by our dependence and trust and faith in Yahweh Osei, the Lord, our strength. That strength is there because that strong one is there. But we avail of that through faith, belief, dependence, and trust in Him. David writes in Psalm 18, beginning of the Psalm, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. There's a determination in David's words. I wonder, can we step away from this message tonight and go back into our lives under God with that determination in our hearts? I will, because you are my strength. I will trust you, because you are Yahweh Osei. David goes on in Psalm 31, 24 to say, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Who's he addressing? All ye that hope in the Lord.